so that his word, so that his soul was vexed unto death, that Samson told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath shown me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord had departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza, and bound him with fetters of brass. He did grind in the prison house. And I'm going to stop there for right now. I have preached a lot of sermons from time to time from the scriptures about Samson. There are a lot of ways you can go, a lot of things you can bring out. And I want to come back today, but I'd like, and no doubt it's a familiar story to most everyone here, but I wanted to liken the story of Samson and Delilah today to the religious generation of our day. I want you to see the story of those two and where we are today as a religious world. I'm not talking about Christians per se, but religious folks around the world, and I want us to see the picture as they relate one to another. It's without doubt we are living in the winding down time of our generation. I believe that these are the closing days of the Christian dispensation. It's almost over. We studied this morning about the rapture and about the second coming of the Lord, and we do not know the day nor the hour, but we can read the signs of the time and know that we are now living in the times that Paul spoke about as being perilous, perilous times. And just as we've studied, we need to take heed to what the Word says and then obey the Word and live the Word and be ready. And Jesus said over and over again, let no man deceive you by any means. So let me just say something to begin with here. If Satan could, he would deceive you. He'd deceive every believer, every born again child of God, everyone that's a part of the family of God, if he could. That's why it's so important, not only for us to be in the house of God or read the Bible, we need to be established in the Word. Let me say that again. Did you know you can memorize? Some folks have, I haven't. But you can memorize the entire Bible. There's a man called the Walking Bible that preaches on television. And he quotes scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture and has for years. But I say this for everyone. You can memorize everything here. But unless you apply it to your heart, all you've done is memorize scripture. May God somehow help us to get it planted in our lives, in our souls, down deep in our spirits, so that we might live thereby and serve God and obey God. And so, centuries ago, Paul said, the time will come when men will not endure sound doctrine. Then he went on to say, they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. They will not endure sound doctrine. They will not endure what the Bible has to say. They will not endure what the Spirit of God has anointed writers of the Bible to write. They will not endure that, but they'll go off here, and they'll go off here and here, and they'll believe some fable or something else that's coming along or come down the pike. But I want you to know we're living in the hour, in the very day, when men today have itching ears, and they want to hear something that sounds good, and they want people to make them feel good. But I'm here to tell you today, I want you to know the truth. If I don't make you feel good today, it will not be my fault. You say, preacher, what do you mean? If you'll obey the scriptures and obey it, live it, you can have an abundant entrance into the kingdom and enjoy the blessings of God. Everyone here, every one of us, my family and yours, realize today that we're living close to the end, and the time that Paul said would come has come. We are now there when people are like those in the city of Athens. Remember the story in the New Testament, how that Paul had left Philippi and Berea and Thessalonica and come on down to Corinth. Before he got to Corinth, went on further to Ephesus, he went to Athens. He went to the Mars Hill, and while he was there, where the philosophers and the thinkers and such men as that, they would spend their days talking about things that were going on and trying to hear something new and something different. And I believe we've come to that kind of place in the Christian world today, or in the religious world today, that people are no longer interested in what the Word of God says. Show me something new. Tell me something new. Tell me something else out there. Listen close. What I tell you today will be in the Word of God. It is old, but it's still ever new. Amen. What a Savior, what a mighty God. It's the old gospel, but it's new when you accept it in your heart and in your life, and it makes you a new creature out of an old man or old woman. Thank God. They want to preach. So many people want a preacher to preach something that will cause them to feel good. And I've heard it said before, it wouldn't have been something if Noah had stepped outside the ark. God had said, come on in, Noah and your family. And he left the door open for 7 days for anyone else to come in. Would it have been something if Noah struck his head out the door just before the flood and said, I've got good news, something good's about to happen. But something good wasn't about to happen. And we've tried to make the peoples of our world think that everything's going to be wonderful. Folks, if people miss heaven, they've missed it all. Something good is not about to happen in this old world. It's getting more worse and worse. But something good can happen in our hearts and in our lives because He's the one. He's the answer. And so you know the story, evidently, no doubt, about Samson and Delilah. And I want to use them as a picture of the religious world of our day. And I want to make mention of some things in Samson's life. And I just want to bring this up to begin with. In Samson's life, here he was. He, under the Jewish law, Samson was dedicated unto God as a babe. God had called him aside to be a Nazarite, and his parents feared God, and so they obeyed the Nazarite law when they were bringing their son up. They desired to do everything that God would have them to do. And so Samson was taught the Scriptures, and as he grew into manhood, he understood and he knew God's call to him. He knew that he was to live a righteous life, that he was going to have the blessing and the anointing and the power of God upon his life. He knew that he must obey God. And as he grew older, he experienced the hand of God upon his life. In fact, God chose him. The nation of Israel, they would serve God for a while, and then they would go back into sin. And then they would cry to God for help, and God would hear and answer and send a deliverer. And He would send a deliverer, and they would bring the people back to God, and the people would worship God and enjoy blessings of God for a while. And then they would lose out again, and God would call, and they would cry out to God again, and God would send another. And now God has called Samson to be the judge of Israel. He's anointed him. He's chosen him to bring victory to his chosen people. And as he grows a little older, he's felt the hand of God upon his life. He's felt the touch of the Master upon his life. Everything was going well. Life was great. And then he met Delilah. And I want to be as plain spoken as I possibly can. And I'm not here to lift up Delilah. But it was not Delilah's fault. Samson's downfall was by a man by the name of Samson. And I thought from that time, from way back in the beginning of history of mankind, even till today, man does not want to take responsibilities for his actions, but always like to blame someone else. And I've heard people preach about how that Delilah led him astray. It was not Delilah's, no, she was ungodly, no doubt. But Samson, that was a man with a free choice, a free will. And Samson was his own downfall.
People oftentimes like to blame others. We've been studying the book of Genesis. In the first three chapters of Genesis, we found that Adam and Eve sinned against God. They failed. They ate of the forbidden food. And when God came into the garden in the cool of the day to visit with them, they were hiding. They hadn't done that before, but now they have sinned and they are ashamed. And they've sewn fig leaves together to cover their nakedness. And they're hiding from God. And God begins to ask Adam some questions. And this is what Adam said: God is the woman. So he turns to the woman, "Woman, why did you do it?" "God, it was a serpent." And people have been blaming others from that time until this. Why I don't go to church, and why I don't serve God, and why I don't read the Bible, and why I don't pray, and why this, and why that. On and on and on. I've had people tell me, "Brother Jones, if my husband would get in church, I would serve God with all of my heart. Maybe if that person would get in church and serve God with all their heart, maybe the companion would as well." Everybody, keep in mind, we have a habit of blaming someone else. In fact, it's the same way as we're preparing. And this is, I'm not a politician, but in the run towards the presidency and the election that's coming just down the road a little while in November, there's so much blaming this and blaming this and blaming this. And our nation is hurting. God, help us to come together somehow and realize that God's still God. And we can have a nation that is worthy of our name, worthy of our God that has formed us and brought us to where we are today. God, help us not to blame everybody else, but look at ourselves. Amen. 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 And so here is Samson, having been the great man of God. I've got three thoughts in the lesson today. The first thought is a question. How could Samson, someone who had been blessed so abundantly, how could he, who was mightily used of God to bring victory to the children of Israel, how could he, who was given supernatural strength to defeat the enemy, how could he become weak and be like other men? I'm going to read that 17th verse again. Samson told Delilah all his heart and said unto her, "There hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." This is not in my sermon, but the thought just came to me, so let me mention it to you. If you want to be like any other man, be sure it's like Jesus. The arm of flesh will fail you. Man will let you down. There'll come a time when you'll need him and he'll not be there, but he never fails. What a Savior. When you read the life of Samson, what could have been? And when you think about the Christian church, how God would love to bless and minister and use it. And I want to tie the two together, try to put it together somehow. I want you to see Samson. Here's a man, look at him if you will. Here's a man that killed a lion with his bare hands. While I was praying this morning and thinking about the sermon, I thought about David. David killed the giant, the champion of the Philistines, the enemy, with a sling, and that was tremendous. But Samson did not have a sling. He killed a lion with his own hands. Another time, the Bible says that the enemy was gathered around about. And they were there to destroy Samson. And Samson had nothing, nothing, nothing to fight with. And so out of the sand, he picked up a jawbone of an ass, a dry skeleton of a dead animal. And he waded in to the enemy. And when it was all over, he had slain 1,000 with the jawbone of an ass. Not in a war, not over a period of time, but in one battle, Samson took the jawbone of an ass and killed 1,000. On another occasion, the Bible says, while he was in a certain city, and the people of the city were congregating, they were going to catch for him, and They're going to take him into captivity. They're going to get him one way or the other. And the Bible says in the night time, Samson went out, took the gates of the city, shook them from the foundations, huge gates, iron gates, shook them from the foundation and took him, put him on his shoulder. Walked off in the middle of the night, the great iron gates of the city. I want everyone to understand this morning about Samson. Samson was mightily used of God. When I was a boy, that's been a few years ago, they had comic books. I don't ever remember buying one. I thought that was foolish to spend 10 cents on something you read one time. So if anyone else had one, I'd read it. I saw on the back of a comic book a man. His name was Charles Atlas. Any of you older folks ever remember him? And if you would take these lessons, get them from Charles Atlas, you could look like this. Well, not like this. Like here. But I want you to know, in my mind as a child, and I was growing up, Charles Atlas time, I had in my mind, Samson, man, you were a Charles Atlas. Power, strength. But I want everyone to understand what I'm saying now. Please understand. Samson did not kill the lion because Samson was strong. Samson did not take the gates of the city, walk off the mountain because he was a Charles Atlas strong. He did not kill 1,000 of the enemy with the jawbone of an ass in one battle because he was strong. He did all of that because he obeyed God and had the anointing of God and the touch of God in his life. And that's important for the Christian church to understand this morning. As we liken the Christian church to the professing Christian church around the world. And the story of Samson and Delilah. How that God had anointed and anointed and anointed and blessed him. And because he had faith in God and trusted God and obeyed God, God gave him deliverance, gave him power, gave him victory over the enemy. And while he was the leader, while he was the deliverer, and he was a champion, the Bible tells me that the children of Israel were happy, and there was joy in the camp, and they rejoiced in the Lord because God had given them deliverance. And now, I find the story as it goes on, how that Samson has met Delilah, and something is taking place. Something has begun to transpire in his life. Someone said the question has been raised after all that God has done for him. How did he become a man like other men and become weak like other men? The question has been raised over and over again. How did he become as other men and lose out with the Maker, his Maker, the Almighty God? So I'll have the answer right here. He thought he could disobey God's word and still enjoy victory. He thought he could play with fire and he wouldn't get burnt. He thought he could dabble with sin and it'd have no effect upon his life. Like so many of my generation, I thought, I don't need to live holy. I don't need the preaching of the old timers. I don't need to live such a straight life. They're not doing it here, and they're not doing it there, and they're not doing it there. Look what's happening in their lives. Listen closely, folks. We're going to be judged by this. I told you a story some time ago. It's been quite a few years now. A man came to me, came in my office. I had known him. He's attending church elsewhere. He was. And he began to, I shouldn't say unload, but just, I could tell something was wrong. He began to tell me of what was going on in the church where he was attending. He said, some of the things that are taking place I do not agree with. He said, sometimes when they call it worship and praise, seems like it's so far out and so wild. They are waving flags and they're blowing ram's horns and they're dancing in the aisles and whatever. And he says, I just don't agree with that. And he said that wilderness seemed like there's no standards at all, and I just don't go along with that. And then he said this, but I know what I believe, and I'm not going to allow any of that to affect me. to sway me. And when I was thinking about that this week, I thought, I imagine Samson felt the same way. It ain't going to bother me. It's not going to affect me. I love God, and God loves me, and He's anointed me and used me in these ways, and no one's going to be able to sway me. Listen closely, folks. In this last hour, if you're not careful and I'm not careful, the devil will sway you. We haven't made it yet. If there's ever time to get close to God and stay close, it's now. So much is happening in the world. So much is happening in the world. So much is taking place in the Christian church, so-called, in the professing religious churches of the world. And I thought, here is Samson, a man that has had the anointing and the power and the touch of heaven upon his life and mightily used of God. Have faith in God. His name is in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, in the honor roll of faith. A man that had faith in God. And now, he's become weak like all the other men. How? Why would he let himself come to such a time in his life? Why couldn't his eyes be open to what was happening? Why would he allow himself now to find the enemy around about? And when Delilah cries out and says, "Honey, the enemy's upon you, the Philistine's upon you," this time he was unable. He was unable. They had bound him before with ropes. And when she said, "The Philistine's upon you," he said, he broke them as if they were thread. Another time they bound him with green whips, and when she said, "The Philistines are upon you, honey," and he awakened and he shook himself and he broke them as if they were just touched by fire. Could not bind them, but now it's a different story. Here's a man that has had the power and anointing of God upon his life. And I thought, what a tragedy. He flirted with the world. Thought it would have no effect upon him, like the man that was talking to me in my office. It would have no effect on me. But Samson might have thought the same thing. But it did have an effect. And so the second thought today is, look what happened. Losing out with God cost nearly. If I could only have pressed that upon my family and every family present this morning. When we lose out with God, there is a high price to pay. Devil tries to paint a picture that everything's going to be all right. Like he said to Eve, if you'll just taste of that food, you'll be like a god. You'll be like the gods. But when she tasted of it, rather than being like the gods, she had the spirit of the devil now. And that's the way it is in our world. When people get away from the Bible and away from God's Word, they feel like everything's going to be wonderful now, but it turns out to turn to nothing. What a story. This time, again, he's played with fire. And the Bible says she calls Zedek, bound him. And so I want you to see the picture. Nothing in the world more pitiful than a man. Someone who at one time has known God and enjoyed the blessings of God and shouted the high praises of God and worshiped the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Had the anointing of God upon his life. Nothing more pitiful in all in that than to see that same person go back into the things of this world and lose out with God and lose the anointing and lose the holiness and lose the presence of God in their lives. And now just a shell of a man, a shell of a woman. Oh God, help us in the last days to keep our eyes on the Lord God. Amen. He became weak like other men and lost out with God. My God, my God. Look at Samson now, if you will. Sad picture. The story is that he goes back to Delilah. She says, "Honey, you've told me things that you love me, but then when we did what you said, you lied to me. Why don't you tell me? Where's your strength lie?" He comes down and says, "If you shall cut my hair, if my head be shaven." Now, I want to make a statement. I want everyone to understand it. Samson's strength was not in his hair. His strength was in obeying God. But when his hair was cut, then he had disobeyed God. And so he comes and tells her his very soul, and she goes to sleep on her lap, and she calls for a gentleman to cut his hair, and They bind him. And I want you to see the picture. A man that's killed a lion with his hands are now bound. And she calls for the Philistines and says, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And the Bible says, when he awakened, he shook himself, believing, I'll break these bonds, I'll break these chains, I'll break these, as I did the ropes and as I did the whips and all the rest, I will break these. He shook himself, not knowing that God had departed from him. And the saddest picture I can tell you today of the Christian church around the world, in so many places, is people don't even realize God's no longer there. Have had the power of God, have had revival, have had victory, have had the anointing, have had miracles and wonders, and today going through the motions and God's no longer there. And the Bible said he shook himself. He thought everything's going to be all right, but this time he could not break the chains. He was bound, and I want you to see this today, at this point right here. He's bound. No freedom. No liberty. I could preach a political sermon here, but I'm not a politician. But when our nation was formed by our forefathers, it was Benjamin Franklin that said something like this, we have given you a republic if you can keep it. We've outlined a republic for you that you can have a nation if you'll just follow what we have outlined, if you'll keep it. And I'm afraid America's getting away from our footing. Help us, God. Help us, God. He lost his freedom. He lost his liberty. And when his freedom and liberty was gone, he lost his joy. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And when your joy is gone and your strength is gone, brother, you can do nothing. When the Lord is no longer anointing your life and anointing you and blessing you, we can do nothing. Look in the mirror. Without God, you are nothing more than dirt. Pile of dirt. Made of the dust of the earth. That's not a whole lot to shout about. But that's who we are, without God. But God breathed into Adam's nostrils and he became a living soul. And when he breathed into our lives and saved us and forgave us, we became new creatures in Christ Jesus. We became a living soul. Amen. We're alive today in the Lord. Amen. 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 Praise God. He lost his freedom. He lost his liberty. I thank God for the freedom and liberty that we have in America. Yes. We've just celebrated the 4th of July. Our independence, our freedom. And if the Lord were to tarry another 200 years, I don't know what would happen to America. I'm banking on the Lord coming and praying for that to that end. But here he is, he's lost his freedom, he's lost his liberty. And the Bible says not only that, as he's bound, but they gouge out his eyes. He's lost his vision. He can no longer see. God's withdrawn his power from him. The touch of glory is no longer in his life. His strength is gone. His joy is gone. Freedom gone. His liberty is gone. Everything is gone. All that he really wanted in life to begin with, and now he's lost it all. I thought, what a sad picture. The high price of compromising. How many do I know that have attended this church over the years? Many have been saved in these altars. How many I know today that have compromised their experience with God? How many still go to church? How many still testify? But they've compromised their experience with God. I've heard people in our choir. I've heard people stand here. People in this in our congregation over the years saying, God has spoken to me and told me to lay this aside. And if I don't, how then I'll miss heaven. I heard a man in my church that I used to pastor said, I've been called to preach. And if I don't preach, I will go to hell. I've got a preacher. Did you know what he did? Turned in his license and went as a carpenter to Las Vegas to make big money. He had already said in the altar in Glendale, if I don't preach the gospel, I will burn in hell. Listen closely, folks, today. We need to go by this. Samson lost his liberty. He lost his victory. And the only liberty and victory we have today is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lost his joy, and the only real joy today is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He lost his eyes. He could not see. And the only people that can really see today are those that know the Lord. It's true. The unsaved cannot see what they're missing. They can't see the glory over yonder from this word. It's all been darkened unto them. But my God, help us here as Samson. As he is now grinding at the meal and they're making sport of him and making fun. Before I come to the third point, let me mention this quickly. I thank God for the church. I love you. I appreciate every one of you. But there have been those over the years that we've known that did not, parents that did not raise their children in the house of God. And maybe the parents got saved later, and that's wonderful. But parents that do not raise their children in the house of God will find their children being raised without Sunday school, and without children's church, and without learning the Bible. And they will grow up knowing nothing about the presence and the power of God. And they will get married. And they will marry outside of faith because they're not Christians. And they will have trouble. And there will be divorce and misery and heartache. Say, Brother Jones, I've known Christians that have had split-ups. No two Christians that love God with all their heart have ever divorced. Write that down. No husband and wife that both of them love God with all of their hearts divorced. You can work it out if you love God. Somebody is not where they ought to be when that happens. Keep this in mind, if you will. Here is Samson that lost all of this. And I'm going to wind down the sermon. And I know, and I've already told you this, the 27th verse. Howbeit, his hair began to grow again. I've already told you that his strength was not in his hair. His strength was in his obedience to God. His strength was in faith in God. What does this mean? It's just a sign or a symbol that Samson has come to himself. And I believe the Holy Spirit had that verse put in there so that we might see a glimpse of a hope. Howbeit his hair began to grow again. Here he is bound, grinding at the meal. The laughingstock of the people. And Samson is saying this, and this is, I'm going to close in a moment. As he represents the Christian church, the religious world today. Samson is saying, in a sense, these words. God, I'm sorry. I remember when you anointed me, and I killed that lion with my hands. I remember how I felt when I had that tingling sensation of the power of God. When I picked up that jawbone and I killed 1,000 of the enemy. That wasn't me, that was you. I remember that extraordinary strength I had when I picked up the gates of the city and walked off in the middle of the night. I didn't have that kind of strength. That was you, God, that allowed me to do that. And now it's all gone and my people are lost. They have no leader. I've let them down. And the Bible says, howbeit his hair began to grow again as a sign, maybe something's happening. Maybe something's happening. And I'm not going to take time for the whole story. But you know, in the end time, they brought him to the temple to make fun of him. They had a little boy leading him. Isn't it something? 1,000 of the enemy could not contain him, but now a little boy. Isn't it amazing when the devil's in charge? Doesn't take a whole lot to lead somebody around by the nose. A little boy leads him, he says to the boy. His eyes are gone, he cannot see. His strength is gone. All's gone, everything. Says the little boy, would you just place me close to the pillars of the temple where the temple is constructed? Would you do that? And the boy did, and he prayed one more time. God, one more time. One more time, God, would you give me strength? Would you just give me strength to pull this building down because it was the enemy? It was the ungodly. It was the idol worshippers. Would you give me strength one more time? And listen to what I tell you now. God anointed him one more time. He pulled the building down one more time. More of the enemy died that one day than all of his lifetime
as he had won the victory after victory after victory for God's people. He pulled the building down and gave victory to the people so that they might realize God is still God. Let me leave this with you. My wife is coming to the piano. Let me leave this with you. Could I tell you this morning that I have a word, albeit his hair began to grow again. Could I tell you this morning that God has led us to know he's still God. And all the things have happened, seemingly maybe no revival and no spiritual awakening and no move of God and no power and no anointing, is still in God. And I believe that Samson's praying. He's repented. And he's saying something like this, God, I'll tell you who I've really sinned against. It's you. Would you give me strength one more time? One more time. One more time, God, for your sake. And these your people, God, I've let them down. I failed them. Look where I've gone. Look what I've done. I've compromised. God, I've let them down. One more time for their sake. God, I've ruined my family name. My own sake. Would you just give me straight one more time? And I'll tell you how I'm praying this morning. God, give us revival one more time. One more move of God. One more touch from heaven. How many times God's come by? How many times God has laid His hand upon us? How many times God has blessed our lives? How many times when we were singing in the choir, all of a sudden seemed like the Lord just come in the midst and people began to worship God. And the presence of God was so real. And the anointing of God, do you believe He's still the same? Yes, He is. Howbeit the hair of His head began to grow again. I'm saying this today out of the depths of my heart. I believe God's going to stir us just this last time, one more time. I believe He's already begun to work in our lives. I believe somehow, even now, God is wanting us to realize with Him all things are possible. Without Him we can do nothing. Oh God, give us one more revival. Save the lost. Bring the lost to You, God. Save our loved ones, God. Heal the sick. Let there be miracles and wonders in the house of God. Oh God, raise the people up for Thy glory. You're still God. You're still God. Amen. 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 Do you believe it? Do you believe God's able? Do you believe God wants to today? Wave your hand to heaven if you believe it. Do you believe God wants to bless today? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Will you stand together with me? Everyone stand together.